Praise the Lord. Praise God and good morning to you and welcome to our broadcast, which should be on a Thursday morning. I'm going to deviate a little bit from our teaching here and I'm going to bring you a testimony today and for the next few programs. And I believe that this testimony is going to be very interesting for you and also help you out. I'd like to read a scripture to you here and then we're going to pray. This is from Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand. I've talked to you many times about that we are in a spiritual battle. It's a fierce battle. We talked about deliverances. And I have a man with me here today that will share with you what has happened in his life, what God has done, and the hope that he has in Christ Jesus. Let's pray before we bring him on. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments. And I thank you right now for your Holy Ghost that will just touch the two of us. And Father God, it will touch the men and the women, the boys and the girls listening to this tape. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me welcome Brother Stewart.
Morning, Pastor. Nice to see you.
And I gave him absolutely no warning. You walked in here for your counseling session, and I told you what?
Well, you surprised me. I had no idea I'd be talking in a microphone.
So we have not rehearsed this. Let's do this. Just start back a little bit. You've been with us about 10 weeks.
10 weeks, 3 months, something like that, yes.
And you heard me talk about Stewart, little bit of testimonies, but when you called me, you came from Dallas, and wanted to give a short, brief testimony. You were born, a little bit about your education, and what led up to the crash in your life.
Well, I was born in 55 in Washington, D.C. I was raised in the suburbs of Chicago. I went to college in Illinois and got a bachelor's degree, worked for IBM for a while, went back to school and got a PhD, and I've been trying to become successful throughout my life, and for some reason, everything that I would do, I'd get partway into it, and it just would fall apart. I kept on trying over and over again, and it finally gotten to the point that I was simply exhausted from all the effort I put out into my life and wasn't able to reap any fruits. When I'd contacted you, I'd gotten to the point that I'd been physically ill for 4 years, was no longer able to function, and had no idea how I was ever going to be able to live again.
Now, you also have a crashed marriage behind you, right?
That's correct. I have a failed business. I have a crashed marriage. I've had alcohol and drug problems. I've had quite a mess. I've tried very hard to find the right way to live. I've pursued many different approaches, and none of them have been able to work for me.
Now, you would be what we call an upper and out. You were not living in the street. You made some fairly decent money for a while.
Right. Many people, when they looked at me, they would have thought I was a role model of what they would like to be when they grow up. I never lived on the street. I never really had poverty. I've never wanted. I haven't been rich, but I certainly was comfortable most of my life.
Now, what's your PhD in?
I have a degree in chemical engineering.
And so you also were a business entrepreneur for a number of years.
Right. I worked for IBM. I worked for NASA. I worked at a naval research lab. And then for about 8 years, I was self-employed as a businessman. I built a number of businesses. One of them, we actually got quite a bit of money invested in. I got about $15 million invested in the business. And ultimately, I was asked to leave that business. The people who took it over bankrupted it. I've tried very hard. I've put as much of my will and as much as my intelligence as I knew how into being successful in terms of how the world defined it. And I just could not succeed. I tried to be successful in my personal relationships, in my marriage, in my emotional health, in my spiritual health. You know, it was like having a garden that no matter what I planted in it, it wouldn't grow. It was very, very painful.
Now, you had what they call sensitivity diseases. You want to describe some of the things that you were battling with?
For the last 4 years, I had a very acute case of what was called multiple chemical sensitivity environmental illness. At one time, I had to lock myself into a room and seal the windows and the doors with caulk and tape, and I was living on distilled water. I had a massive air purifier that ran 24 hours a day, and I was eating 8 foods. The only foods I could digest were these 8 particular foods. And I basically wasn't capable of living in the world. It was something like what they call the boy in the bubble syndrome. And I had a couple that introduced me to some teachings in spiritual illnesses, and that's really what started me on the process that led me to finding you and coming to Sacramento.
Let's go back to your childhood now. You accepted Christ at the church campout, and so why don't you just share with the people what happened, how you accepted Christ as a young boy, and what devastated you after that?
Well, I come from a family that is not very religious at all. In fact, they're not Christian. They're very intellectual, and they're very willful, very strong-minded people. And they had a very low opinion of religion. But my parents, my mother in particular, had joined a church because it was a socially acceptable thing to do. And they sent me to a church camp when I was 9 years old. I believe I was 9, may have been 8 or 10. And in the middle of the church camp, they kept on having altar calls. And about the third day or so, I was very strongly moved to come up to the altar and to accept Christ as my Savior. It was a very moving experience for me. I remember it quite vividly. I particularly remember one of the individuals telling me to take my Bible and to write in my Bible that today I was saved. And at the time, I remember I didn't have a Bible. A day or two after that, I don't remember exactly when, one of the counselors of the church camp sexually molested me. And I went into shock. And that was the last time I recall really having a relationship with Jesus Christ or having any openness with Christianity until many years later.
So being homosexually attacked by a homosexual, it simply devastated you as a little boy, and it simply shattered your faith in Christ.
Well, I actually have very little recall of the specific events. I simply know that the entire thing is a frightening and disturbing memory I have, and it seemed to be the way that the devil used to bring me away from Christ after me reaching out to him.
Now, during your time, how old are you now?
I'm 48.
From that time then, you have also been into occultism, New Age. You want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, even in my teenage years, I knew that there was something wrong with me. It's a symptom that the pastor has diagnosed as arrested development. And I kept on trying to find a way to fix myself. So I looked for all the different techniques that I could learn as how to do that. And I became very strongly interested in alcohol and drugs, and then the hippie movement, very much into what was called expanding consciousness with LSD and what have you. And from that point, I became very interested in the New Age movement, occultism, Western magic, et cetera, et cetera. And for about 20, 25 years, I pursued that as a way to try to deal with my problems.
So you have this problem, and then also you have been with a number of women. You have, what we would say, been around.
Well, I was never properly raised by my parents, and I was abandoned by my mother, not physically but emotionally, as she was abandoned by her mother. It was a generational curse. And I kept on looking for women to give me what I never received from my parents, and so I sought out many relationships, and I also sought out the stimulation of being in a close physical and a sexual relationship with women. Once again, I tried everything I could put my hands on in order to make myself feel better. And sometimes it would work for a day or two, but it never really helped me.
Let's bring you up to the point. We said about 2 years ago when you decided to take your life. You want to share that with the listeners?
Well, my business fell apart. My wife left me. My alcoholism was all out of control, and I had basically lost my home and everything. And I'd used up all my money. I had tried everything that I knew of to make my life work. And I just was totally broken. And I went out and bought a shotgun and sat in my car and picked up a shotgun and prepared to kill myself. And as I did so, a voice inside of me said that, you know, if you're going to do this right. Hurry up and do it. Don't screw this up. And as I brought the shotgun towards my face, it was about 8 inches away from my face, and I cried out to Jesus Christ. It's the first time I really had called his name in many, many years. I don't know exactly what happened. I didn't really feel all that much different, but I put the shotgun down, went upstairs, called up a friend of mine, and returned to the Dallas area and started going to church, the first time I'd been to church in many, many years.
So you were just seconds from death.
That is correct. I was not only was I seconds from death, but I was seconds from killing myself. I had nothing to live for.
Now, all this time, God has kind of kept his hand on you, so you have been spared from accidents and dying, and you've been probably in many different tight situations.
I've tried just about as hard as possible to get myself in trouble, and I have managed to walk very close to my destruction without ever being destroyed. I've been very blessed and guarded by my angels.
We run out of time here, so this gives you a little background here. We're going to talk to Stuart here tomorrow, how he has been able to move from having had these kind of diseases and also from not being able to function, where he is now in the process of being restored. And again, you heard him say that he had an arrested development spirit due to abandonment by his parents, that he's not emotionally supporting, and also having a very shattering experience with a man that's supposed to be a Christian that raped him as a boy on a church camp years ago. Be sure to tune in tomorrow, and you're going to find out how God reached down and moved him from Dallas, Texas to Sacramento, California. And remember this, God is not a respecter of persons. What he does for one, he will do for another. And if you have a need, call out to Jesus and call us, and God will meet you. May God touch you. Praise God. Praise the Lord, and good morning to you, and welcome to a Friday broadcast. And Friday means Sunday is coming. And Sunday means praise, worship, and just fellowshipping around the Word of God at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church right here in Sacramento, California. And I'm giving you a personal invitation, 10:30. And if you would like to come in, I had Stuart on here yesterday. He's on here today. Then he'll be there. You can meet him in person. Plus many others that have been through deliverance and are in different stages are growing. So remember this, one day you will come and visit us. Let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now. That Father God, you are in total control. And I thank you today that as people listen, they will get hope. And Father God, faith to know that you are real. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we got Brother Stuart here. Before I ask him some questions again, I want to read a verse to you from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to him to his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, yesterday, Stuart shared in his life here that he's been in the occult, he's been in New Age, he's been doing a number of different things. He got a failed marriage. 14 years. How long were you married?
14 years.
14 years. And he's been with a number of women, drank, chased, so to say. Did you smoke too?
Oh, yes.
Took drugs. But God had a plan for you. Now, God knew that when you gave your life to Christ at the age of 9, He also knew that Satan will attack you. Let's share a little bit how you ended up in Dallas and how you were led to Christians. A little bit step by step on that.
Well, when my marriage ended and I was failed in my business, I'd always believed that God had something He wanted to do with me in my life. I just didn't know what it was or how to do it. I was trying to find my right relationship with God, but I was doing it using a New Age method. And to answer your question directly, I started working with an astrologer, and the astrologer told me that God had something He wanted me to do. And I took my background in science and had developed a new business that I thought was going to be very helpful for people. And when I had made it, the astrologer then advised me to move to Dallas, Texas, and that was the place that God wanted me to build my business. So I drove into Dallas, knowing no one, and within a short period of time, I met a woman, and we went into business together. And for a while, it looked like it was very promising, and then my environmental illness became very bad. I learned later on that this also was related to the unclean spirits that were attacking me, and I became extremely ill. And it turned out that I was no longer capable of building my business. And also with time, I came to realize that the business wasn't ready for me to build it.
Now, a lot of people out there are doing what I call shacking up. So you not only was a business partner, but you're also shacking up with this woman sometime.
That's right. We met each other, and within a very short period of time, we decided that we wanted to both cohabitate as well as to build a business together. It turned out that I'm not emotionally capable of shacking up with somebody and then 6 weeks or 6 months later, when it doesn't work out, turning around and walking away. I did that most of my life, and it just devastates me. When I find someone that I want to share myself with, I open myself up to them, and I can't then just turn around and walk away and pretend like it meant nothing to me. And so I'm now learning to wait until the woman that God wants me to be with comes into my life, and then to open myself up to her and to spend the rest of my life with her. I just can't take these jumping arounds. They're destroying me.
All right. So you were with this woman who was not a Christian.
She was a backslidden Christian. And actually, with what's happened to me, she has come back to Christ. But at the time, she was attracted to me because of my New Age knowledge.
So now this led you to some other Christians. Well, I want to share how that happened.
Well, after my suicide attempt, and then I returned to Dallas, and she brought me into the Kenneth Copeland Church, and that's where I really came to church for the first time. And it was a very strange experience. I hadn't been in church since I was a child. I didn't really understand what was going on. And as I understood the teachings that they were offering in this church, it may well be appropriate for the people there, but they weren't helping me at all. They basically were teaching the same things I had learned in the occult, but simply doing it under the guise of Christianity. And as I say, this may be appropriate for them, but it wasn't helping me. And I kept on knowing that I needed to be helped, and I kept on going to the pastors for help. They weren't able to do so. Eventually, a couple walked up to me and introduced me to the teachings of a pastor, Henry Wright, who's out of Georgia, and he teaches about the spiritual basis of illnesses. And I went through some deliverance work with the pastor, Henry Wright ministry, for about 6 months. And I realized that I had unclean spirits inside of me that were injuring me and hurting me. And I was able to receive some relief from their teachings. But they identified I had something called arrested development, and they had no method for dealing with that. Now, I got on the internet one day, and I looked up arrested development spirit. And I found this church in Sacramento, California, that had worked in this area. I picked up the phone one day, and I heard this gentleman answer the phone, and I said, "My name is Stuart, and I'm in Dallas, Texas, and I have trouble with arrested development. Can you help me?" And very surprisingly, for a man who didn't know me at all, Pastor John said, "Yes, we can help you." So he sent me some information. I looked at it. I thought about it. I spent some more time looking at my options. My illness, my physical illness, got worse and worse, and my spiritual conditioning was deteriorating. And finally, when it got to the point that I had no other alternative, that the only thing left was Pastor John in Sacramento, I picked up the phone and told him I wanted to drive out, hopped in my car, and 5 days later, I was in Sacramento, California.
Now, when you first looked at the website and so on, you were not too sure that we were, let's say, kosher. You want to elaborate on that because you were skeptic too.
Well, you were much different than what I would call mainstream Christianity. Conventional Christianity, as it's taught nowadays, as I understand it, is basically feel good. They don't ask too much of you, and everyone gets together and they rub each other on the back and say how wonderful they are. It's sort of like a cocktail party with all the cocktails. And I was looking for a super vitamin pill that was going to fix me, and I wasn't really looking to make a drastic change in my life. But what you teach in your church is very fundamental, very basic, and very traditional Christianity. And that's not taught anymore, or it's taught in very few places. And so you were asking great things of me that were, to use a biblical term, was basically asking my flesh to die. And that was asking a great deal. I'd only been a Christian for less than a year. Most other churches were telling me that they could give me a much simpler answer. But I tried everything else that they had to offer, and you were my only option. And so even though it was challenging and frightening, I showed up at your doorstep.
Now, you have a scripture you want to share.
Well, most of my life, I felt that God wanted to do something with me. At the same time, I felt desperately broken, and I didn't know what to do. And I have a scripture here that I think really describes what my life has been like. It's John 10:27-28, and it goes like this. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. God has always had a destiny for me. Jesus Christ has always been calling me. I didn't know how to respond to his voice, but I've always heard it. It's been tearing me apart, and by the grace of God, I was able to find this church, and I've been finally started to put my life back together again.
Now, when you read this here, he read it out the way we are using real Bibles, King James Bibles. We're not using bastard Bibles. Now, there was a number of things that fell in place because, number one, I have for years wanted to have some kind of recovery center. Financially, I have never been able to build that as a pastor, where we can do something like Teen Challenge or some other shelter where we have a place where we can bring people in and help them. Because you came here literally, all you had was your car, your clothes, and a few things in your car. That's all you came with. And you had a few thousand dollars left over, but not enough to really get into an apartment or something.
I came to you as a wreck. It wasn't until I had exhausted all the options I had in my life that I finally turned to you. I needed to be broken before I was able to be healed like this.
Because one of the things that we demand, which is actually what God demands, is this, is you have to declare total bankruptcy before God can fix you.
I had hit rock bottom in every phase of my life, physical, emotional, financial, psychological, spiritual. I had no alternatives.
This is the way that God worked, and I'm going to bring this man on probably after you've heard these testimonies here with Stuart. But I had a man here in California living not too far from my church, and he went through deliverance about maybe 4 months prior to Stuart coming out to us. And when I shared in the church that Stuart had called from Dallas to begin to pray for him, this man walked up to me and said, if he comes out, he can live with me in my house. And otherwise, I would have told Stuart that, I'd like to help you, but I got no place to put you because right now Stuart could not work. And we will talk about that Monday, how destructive these spirits are, where regardless the degrees and your background, you could not even flip hamburgers. Well, my time is up here today. Let me again say this to you. If you identify, you say, well, I got a worse problem, less problem, but I really need help. The reason I bring you these testimonies is to show you the reality that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God is not a respecter of persons. What he's done for Stuart, he will do for you. And if you have a need, turn to Christ today. We will help you. Call us, write us, but most of all, call heaven now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Happy Monday to you. You should have a happy Monday if you were in church yesterday, where they were preaching out our real Bibles. You were praising God mightily. You should have a glory over this morning, not anything else. Well, we're going to continue here with Stuart today as he's sharing his brave testimony after he's been through deliverance, been with us for about 10 weeks. So let's pray and we get right into the program. My Heavenly Father, I thank you right now, Lord, for being with us here today. Thank you for guiding us as we are progressing with these radio broadcasts. And I thank you right now, Father God, for a tremendous victory in Jesus' name, in the people listening to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God, Brother Stuart. We will just continue talking. And if people come in the first time today, you can call us and you can get the audio cassettes here on the two previous programs. But there's one thing that I want to hit right now that I think is important. Now, when you called, I thought you might be 65 to 70 years old because you were kind of in a depressed mood when you called us. When I saw you, you do not look that old. You've got a very youthful look. And the problem is that you look healthy, but your energy has not been there. And you've not been able to. So that means that people have to simply say, what's wrong with you? You look healthy, you know, you're lazy. Explain a bit how that worked and how that tore you up more.
Well, I have been blessed with great physical health, both my genes as well as the fact that I've taken care of myself physically, even when I've been abusing myself. I've been a very good diet, etc. I've worked out. but inside of myself, both emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually, I've been crushed. My self-esteem has been devastated. And it turns out that my entire identity has been built on a false premise. And when that finally collapsed, It was like a puppet who had his strings cut. I sat there and with my will and tried to pick myself back up, and I wasn't able to. I was just totally crushed inside of myself. And as the pastor says, when people would look at me, they would think that there was something wrong with me, that I was lazy or that I was manipulating or acting. It was a very discouraging situation.
So you're thinking about going to an office and working with somebody. What did that do to you emotionally?
Well, I haven't even looked that far. When I was thinking about going to a McDonald's or a Kmart and applying for a job there, I didn't feel that I was capable of doing the work or even able to survive the interview process. I thought they would ask me very basic questions and that I would collapse right in front of them.
So there was a lot of fear.
My life has been guided by fear. I had some very devastating unclean spirits attack me at an extremely early age, and they had burrowed deep inside of me, and I was just terrified. There were whole parts of myself that I was terrified of being around, and I just was living a life based upon fear.
When you read the material, now you ordered in a package for what we call a deliverance package, and I told you that we will not send it out free of charge. Because when people get it, they forget to pay, and also they get something for nothing, they value for nothing. So you invested $15. Now, when you get that package and you begin to read it and you realize the different holiness that you had to walk with God, we cannot be sloppy and so on, what was you thinking at that time?
Well, I had one advantage in that I had been delivered from some unclean spirits previously, and so I knew that that was a truth. I had seen that for myself, and so that helped me to be receptive to much of your teachings. At the same time, the strictness and the absoluteness of your teachings was very challenging to me. I was trying to find a way to sort of have my cake and eat it too. And you said very clearly, there's the Bible way or there's no way. And as I said previously, if it wasn't for the fact that everything else I had failed, I'm sure I would have turned down what you were demanding because it was too hard for me.
When you walked into our service, describe to the listeners a little bit about our service, because people think, you know, what we have, you know, was it a long service? How do you react to the first service you attended?
Well, I'd just been in Sacramento for one day. I didn't know anyone. I'd never met the pastor before. I walked in. It was a fairly small church. I'd never been in a church quite like this. It was a long service, both between the praise and worship and the testimony. I think it was a three and a half hour long service. And I was quite surprised, and I'd wondered if I had driven 1,500 miles to just come to some crazy place, and what I had made another mistake with my life.
So what happened then as we got into and worked with you? Can you describe what happened to you spiritually as we begin to work with you?
Well, very quickly you were able to bring me through a deliverance process, and in the time leading up to the deliverance, I had a lot of questions about the church, about the teachings, about the activities that the pastor and the church was involved in. I wasn't at all certain that this was going to help or not. You know, I'd been offered many promises in my life. And the team that brought me through deliverance did a great deal of work. They spent a lot of time with me. I was a very challenging case. They might have spent 50 or 60 man hours just as preparation for the deliverance work. And the deliverance itself was in some ways kind of anticlimactical, because I just sat there as your team went through, I think it was about a 14, 16 hour process of doing the deliverance. And then afterwards, I was just exhausted for a number of days. It really wasn't until weeks afterwards that I started to see what had finally happened in my life.
How does it feel to get rid of an arrested development spirit?
Well, it turns out that basically a part of me was always 3 years old, and I hadn't realized that I was unusual. I thought that's how all of us were. And in the 3 months or so, 2 months since I've had my deliverance, I've been able to start growing emotionally in parts of my life that I was never able to grow before. And it used to be when I would encounter situations that were challenging for me, I only had one set way of responding to it. And if that set way of responding didn't work, I would turn around and walk away. Now, this has not been very long, but it's been long enough now that when challenges come into my life, I find that I'm now starting to grow for the first time. And it's both very wonderful and very challenging. It's wonderful because I see that my life is now finally healing and growing, but it's very challenging and painful to be 48 years old and having to go back and deal with some things that I was supposed to have dealt with when I was 5 or 10 or 15 years old.
So what I told you about is true, then, that once you have got rid of the arrested development spirit, you have to, you grow through and you have to deal with issues that was not dealt with as a child. And right now you probably, maybe 9 or 10 years old, and you are now looking forward to be a teenager shortly. So can you explain to the listeners how that feels like?
Well, the deliverance process actually is not very difficult for me or for the person who goes through it. It's the post-deliverance process is where the individual is really called upon to do their work and to make the effort to grow. And fortunately, by the teachings that we're receiving in the church through the King James Bible and through the guidance of the deliverance team, I'm now being provided with the tools for the first time to deal with issues I couldn't deal with beforehand. But it is very frustrating and very challenging to sit here as a physical and a mentally mature, accomplished adult to be emotionally and psychologically and spiritually a young child or a teenager. But there is no alternative except to persevere and to keep on going through these challenging situations. Of course, I do spend many hours a day either in prayer or in the Bible. And the pastor is very helpful to support me and to guide me when I run into situations. In essence, he's my parent.
Now, we do have a follow-up course, And that's a 16 lessons that we do, one lesson a week. Sometimes you can't do that. And I stress that the follow-up is important as a pre-deliverance work and deliverance itself. Having now been through, let's see, about 2 months of follow-up, how important would you say the follow-up is to deliverance?
Well, it'd be like going into the hospital and getting a surgery on a muscle and then coming out of the surgery. If you don't do the exercise to rebuild that muscle, even the best surgeon in the world, even the best surgery in the world, you're not going to reap the fruits of it. The post-deliverance process is where you have the opportunity to take a gift you've been given and to grow something from it. And it's where you, working with God, are able to develop your own individuality. The success is contingent upon your effort in the post-deliverance process.
We just got off for a church camp where we spent about 4 to 5 days up in the mountains with a group of us from the church. And I noticed there at times, you were like a little boy. I could see the little boy running around, and I've seen it from time to time. So it's like you're going in and out of that childhood. Just a brief comment on that.
I wish I had something wise to say. I'm trying to find out who I am, both inside of myself, and I'm trying to find out the way to have a proper relationships with other people. It's awkward to be simultaneously an accomplished adult and to be a stumbling child, and yet that's who I am.
There are times when you kind of just run around and grin and just act like a little boy, and then you come back as an adult.
And there's times also I'm a little boy who's frightened or confused, and I have to go run over in a corner and hide for a while. It is awkward, and people look at you and say, why is this 48-year-old adult acting in that way? That's just who I am today. I can't be anything else besides who I am.
But you are going forward.
Oh, praise God.
All right, we are done with the program, so I'm going to wrap Stuart here tomorrow. We're going to have him share some more things with us. But again, I want to encourage you. I know that many of you are living with someone you're not married with. Some of you are struggling. You are up and out. Some of you are down and out. It makes no difference. When you are spiritually attacked, then you're not able to function. But the good news is, Jesus Christ is here and is waiting for you to reach out and say, help me. Call him now. And if you need help, call us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord, and good morning to you. Well, we're down here to August the 26th, and let me just remind my friends that only my friends are supporting these radio broadcasts. And if you haven't sent in a gift this month, I really appreciate to hear from you, as we have to pay these stations on time. Thank you. Let's just pray right now. Father God, I want to thank you and praise you right now. And Lord, you are with us. We know that. We thank you for your guidance. That today, someone listening shall be able to hear, be encouraged, and have victory in their lives. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have Brother Stuart with us here today, and there is a verse here, a couple of verses I'd like to read to you quickly from Hebrews chapter 5. And we read this in verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. When for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need of one teach you again, which be the first principle doors of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, even if, Stuart, you came to us and you were broken, we didn't give you only milk. We gave you some hard stuff here, but I mean, we give you some good aged meat to chew on. Let's talk about the Bibles now. Before you came, did it matter to you what version of the Bible you used?
Well, I had been initially encouraged to use the NASB, and Copeland Church was using the Amplified Bible a great deal, the New King James, and quite a few of the people I was around were using the NIV. There weren't a lot of people using the King James Version. So the importance of the King James Bible, King James Version, was not stressed at all.
Now, you, having been and are trained as a scientist, when I laid out the case for the accuracy of the translations, what would you say to people? Does it make a difference if you have a Bible that is accurate, or can you have a Bible that somewhat is principle-wise is going down the same direction, but maybe not word for word? You want to elaborate on that as a scientist, and also as a new Christian, what it means to you?
I'm not knowledgeable enough in linguistics and foreign languages and the history to be able to have an intelligent scientific opinion. There's great debate that people have been engaging in. What I'm able to do instead is I can look at people and see the difference between people's lives if they're being fed from the King James Version of the Bible or if they're not being fed from the King James Version of the Bible. And so simply by seeing the fruits both in my life and other people's lives, I find that the King James Version is clearly what I need to be fed by and where I turn for my inspiration.
Do you think that accuracy is important?
Well, you're really asking me questions that are beyond my intellectual skill base right now. What you have taught me and what I'm very young at is that all that we have is the Word of God. And if all that we have is the Word of God, then we need to have the purest, strongest Word of God possible. And what you have taught me and what I'm seeing from the fruits that are bearing in my life is that the clearest Word of God we had is the King James Version.
All right. Let's talk about the camp out for a few minutes. We are about, when we make these programs, we're about a week out from the camp out. This is the first church camp that you went to after you as a boy, when you were molested. Coming into this now, we had other people that have come out of deliverance that are about the same age as you are. What kind of experience did you have at the camp? Could you share something that might help the listeners?
Well, I wasn't sure if I wanted to go. I kept on vacillating back and forth. I didn't know what to expect out of the process. I really had not associated the fact that this was my church camp, first church camp out since I was raped as a child. It wasn't really until I was there that that started to come back to me. I've never really had total recall of the event. I just have emotional sensations of the difficulty. And the camp out was at times very pleasant and enjoyable and at times very awkward and difficult for me. I'm needing to learn both who I am as Stuart, who I am in the eyes of God, and how to interact with other people. It's a very challenging process.
Would you say, now we had devotions in the morning where we had praise and worship, and we had someone would speak, and then we had altar calls. We also had campfire meetings at night. How did you experience these?
Well, there's one thing I believe that I have going for me, not because of anything that I did, but because of what God has put inside of my heart, and that is I have a huge need for God. Now, I believe we all have a huge need for God, but I know that I do. And the devotional, the praise and worship, and the testimonies that we were able to share with each other, both when we spoke from our heart and when we heard our brothers and sisters talking, were extremely moving for me, very nourishing. We had a number of evenings in which I felt that I was deeply sharing who I was with other people and that other people were sharing who they were. And more than us just sharing, that the Holy Spirit was moving through us. And it was a very beautiful and a very healing process.
Now, you have just recently moved out from our Christian brother that had you in his place. And we have been able to locate the place here in Sacramento, money-wise, that you're able to handle temporarily. share with the listeners here now, as you came out of deliverance, you're growing day by day, you're doing your lessons, you're meeting with me once a week. How is the transition taking place right now? What is happening inside of you?
Well, I've gone through this sequence of emotional phases. I was very crippled by depression. And after, 4, 5, 6 weeks, my depression started changing over to fear. And then my fear has started changing over to anger and to aggression. And so I'm going through sort of a reverse emotional process of what I went through when I entered into depression. And I'm coming out sort of by the same path that I went into it. At the same time, the physical problems I had, particularly the multiple chemical sensitivity, environmental illness, has been lessening a great deal, because this new apartment that I moved into, it's quite reasonably priced, and it's a nice size little apartment, but it hasn't been cared for many years. And I've spent most of the past 3 days either with a bottle of Clorox or with Pine Sol or with Comet, just scrubbing and cleaning and doing other things, and I still have a couple of days of cleaning in front of me. But in the past, if I was to spend half an hour or an hour or so around these cleaning products, I'd be ill for a day and a half, 2 days. And I've probably spent 20 hours so far around these things, and I'm sleeping very soundly. You know, my throat's a little scratchy, but the changes in my immune system has been remarkable in just this short period of time.
So physically, you are healing up.
Physically, I'm healing up, and emotionally, I'm healing up. You know, I still am troubled by fear. I'm still troubled by doubt. But another huge thing is happening is that I am being transformed or conformed into what the Father wants me to be. And this is quite a challenge, because I learned how to be a worldly person, and I was a fairly accomplished worldly person. And the person that God wants us to be is not a worldly person at all. And so I'm going through this process of my flesh dying and learning to be totally dependent upon the Father, the Son, and being guided by the Holy Spirit. And this is a second process. Not only am I healing and going through the deliverance, but I'm learning to be a Christian. And so in some ways, my life is even more challenging than most, because not only am I going through my post-deliverance, but I'm also learning to be a Christian at the same time.
So one of the things here is that you came out of depression into fear, from fear to anger. So you have a reverse process right now. And you remember I told you this, that the reason that you have fear is caused by control. And because of insecurity, you have to control. And when you can't control, you get angry. And this is what happened to a lot of people in marriages, that you got to control the wife, you got to control the children, you got to control this and that. And when you can't do it, then you get angry, and then comes depression. How does it feel to be out of control, that you control nothing now?
It's not much fun, but it's the life that God has called us to, and I'm just starting to learn how to do it. It's very awkward. Particularly with a background as a scientist and with the intellectual skills that I was born with. I was used to having very methodical and very precise maps about how everything was supposed to work. And now that I'm learning that God provides what I'm supposed to have, when I'm supposed to have it, and I sit there and trust and wait and in faith, it's a great challenge, but it's the life I believe that I'm supposed to be living, and I believe that we're all supposed to be living.
In closing, how are you feeling? Are you feeling happy, relieved? Is the burden rolled off your back? How are you feeling? How's your joy level?
Joy is still a challenge for me, but what I'm feeling is that I have a life for the very first time. I don't know what's in front of me. I still have challenges, I still have doubts, but I feel a part of me is alive that's never been alive before, and I'm looking forward to seeing what my life is going to be.
Well, time is up, Stuart. What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring you back about a year from now, and then we're going to see how you're progressing. But the main thing is this, that you just heard enough from a man that when he came to us from Dallas, Texas, he was totally crippled and was very, very emotionally disturbed. And he's able to stand up before people to talk, and just now talking to you on the radio. Call God right now. And remember this, God wants to touch you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.